May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to read to you a familiar passage from John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the uttermost. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, Jesus's, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper, and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, girded himself about. And then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, What I do you do not understand now, but you will understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, Never shall you wash my feet. And Jesus answered, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, Who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him, and for this reason he said, Not all of you are clean. And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. There's a lot of amazing things in this passage of Scripture, but there's just something kind of simple I want you to see that that all the years that I've taught from this passage, I didn't really notice the emphasis until just the last couple of days. Now, one of the things, they're really kind of like three characters or three different sets of people in the Scripture. One is Jesus. Then there's the disciples who are clean, and there's one who isn't. But it says about them, it says that Jesus, in verse 1, loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. Now, all of them were of the world. They were part of the fallen world. They were fallen people. But all of them but one had been redeemed, and that was Judas. And Jesus washed all their feet. He loved them to the uttermost. Even the one who betrayed him. And at this point, if you read the rest of the chapter, the Father had already given insight into Jesus who was going to betray him. He identified him at the supper. And it's amazing that God would call us to love people transparently, even though they're not going to do right by us. They're not going to treat us right. You know, I believe that, and if we're not careful, that can get a deep wound in our heart. But the only way to combat bitterness is love. You know, I believe that there's been some people in your life, brother, who really betrayed you and hurt you. And it's caused you to pull back. And there's just like some anger issues and depression as a result of it. And I believe today God's going to set you free. You're going to release them, heal them, and just start loving them in your heart. And when you do that, they have no more power over you. And they no longer have the ability to direct your future. Your future is in the hands of the Lord. Amen? I believe there's a couple of you here too today who've really been injured and wounded by spiritual leaders. Either pastors or associate pastors or some kind of discipleship leader. And God just wants to cleanse that wound and release you to no longer allow that to identify you. And identify your hope or hopelessness concerning your future in the Lord. But here's the thing that I wanted you to see, a very simple word. It says, when he says to Peter, goes to Peter to wash his feet, Peter says, he thinks he's being humble, and I guess he is. He said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have fellowship with me. It doesn't mean it didn't belong to him, but you can't know my fellowship. So Peter said, well, wash my feet, my head, my hands, everything. And then Jesus says to him, he said, in verse 10, he who has bathed, in other words, you've been born again, you're a Christian. You know, that's a picture of baptism and just new birth. He who is bathed needs only to have his feet washed, but he is completely clean. And you are clean, and not all of you, for he knew one was going to betray him. That one wasn't. Not all of you are clean. Now, from this point forward, did Peter get it right at every point?
No.
Peter's not yet denied him openly. As a matter of fact, after this particular instant, Peter then makes a much of statements like, Lord, they may all betray you, but I'll never betray you. We can all go to jail, but I'll never betray you. If I have to die, now these other ones you can't really trust, but me, I'll never betray you. And then yet he's the one who betrayed Christ publicly. And so when Jesus says this about Peter, it's not because in this same instance, in the Luke passage, at the Lord's Supper, he tells Peter, you're going to deny me three times. So already having that knowledge in him too, he says to Peter, you are completely clean, but your feet are dirty. There's one among you who isn't clean. That's Judas, who wasn't born again. He had never been bathed in that sense, never appropriated forgiveness of sins. And so he wasn't clean. But he identified Peter, though Peter was of the world, because he said, having loved those who God had given him out of the world, they were all of the world, but they'd all been redeemed except for one. This is the encouraging thing for me. We're called to love the lost, aren't we? Judas was the lost, and Jesus washed his feet. But we're called to love those who are brothers and sisters in a unique and profound way. If we would think about one of the books in the Bibles, it would be the love book. It would be 1 John. And every time he's referring to, almost every time, about loving and loving, it's a loving one another, brothers, and laying your life down for your brothers and for your sisters. And this is a real revelation to me. He knew what Peter was about to do, one of the most famous public sins in Christian history, by a Christian. Judas wasn't a Christian, but by a Christian, one of the most famous, I guess the most famous public sin by a Christian in Christian history, in church history. And yet Jesus looks at him and says, you're completely clean, but you do have dirty feet. You sin. You mess up. You need forgiveness. You need cleansing, but you're completely clean. There was something about him that Jesus saw that he said, you're completely clean, though he recognized he had dirty feet and was going to sin some more. Ezekiel 36 talks about God giving us a new heart, the new covenant. And every one of you who are Christians, God's given you a new heart. And there's just something different about you. And you and I are going to have brothers and sisters who fail us at times. And their feet get dirty. Sometimes they're like cake dirty, terrible dirty. But what we have to be careful about is totally rejecting them. Because there's something about them behind all the dirt, even if the dirt comes up to the knees, that's clean in God's eyes. He's given them a new heart. They are a new creation, and we have to honor that. Not only do we have to honor that, we have to believe in that. Doesn't mean there's not accountability or consequences for a Christian sin, but we should never back off on them. We should never give up on them. Jesus said, this was an example because you're going to have to wash each other's feet. And washing feet isn't just about forgiving that person, though it certainly starts there, right? Almost all brokenness in Christians is because of unforgiveness. Not all, but almost all. But it's about helping them in humility to get clean in terms of their walk instead of judgmentalism. You can judge a person's sin, but you can't judge their heart. There's something about Peter that Jesus said was clean, even though he was about to commit the most public sin in Christian history. We're to help each other. We're all going to get dirty feet. We still all live in this world. And we're to forgive each other and in humility on our hands and knees help our brothers and sisters be restored and be cleansed. But you can't do that if you judge their hearts. We have to assume behind all the dirt, if they're really a Christian, there's something there that is incredibly clean and awesome to God. It makes a world of difference in how you talk about Christians and how you treat Christians who fail. Because I'm going to assure you of something. Once you fail, or if you fail, and we all fail at some level, you're going to want brothers and sisters to forgive you and to help your feet get cleansed, not to stand back in judgment and have nothing to do with you. I've heard so many Christians over the year go, I just want nothing to do with them anymore. They better be grateful God doesn't have that attitude towards them every time they get dirty feet. Amen? This is part of what Christ-likeness is about, right? The one who got on his hands and knees and loved them, washed their feet, is the same one that lives in you. So you should expect that he would want you to use your body, your humanity, to do the same kind of stuff. I don't think we'd have so many church splits and relational splits among Christians, would we? If we walked in this. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.